You have your Bible this evening and turn it over to the book of Luke with me. I was going to open my notebook to preach out of, and that's my date book. So that's going to be hard to do. So let me find what I need to find here this evening. Luke chapter number 1 is where I want to go this evening. And I just want to read a very familiar portion of Scripture to us. And then I want to tell you where I'm going with this short thought for the evening. It's very short in some ways, but yet I think it's profound in other ways. The scripture I'm going to read to you this afternoon is where the angel appears unto Mary about Jesus' birth. Now, I know that Thursday's Thanksgiving, and I don't want to rush the season. I don't want to get Christmas here before it's time. But yet, it is that time of the year that we start thinking more about the birth of Christ, and I'll talk a little bit about that in just a few minutes. But in the book of Luke, chapter 1, verse number 26, in the sixth month, angel Gabriel was sent from God unto the city of Galilee, named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, "Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there shall be no end." Then said Mary unto the angel, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" And the angel answered and said unto her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived and a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren." Verse 37, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." And Mary said, "Behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto thee, me, according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. Stretch your hands this way. Father, I thank you, God, even now, for the time that you've given us here, even now, to come into your house and to share what I believe tonight, Lord, that you've laid into my heart. I pray, O Heavenly Father, God, that as we share the word of the Lord this evening, that it would go forth. And it would accomplish that, O God, that you would have it to accomplish. And Father, we thank you, God, even now, that your Holy Spirit is with us even now. Oh God, help us to see further than we've seen, and help us to do the things, God, that without you would be impossible. Father, I pray your blessings over every person in this room and those that's watching online this evening, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I guess if I had a title this evening, it would be Overcoming Life's Impossibilities. Life is filled with situations that appear to be impossible. This situation with Mary and Elizabeth, both of them, seem to be absolutely impossible. I got to be honest with you and tell you that this morning when I got out of bed, I did not know what I was going to preach tonight. I normally ponder on Tuesday and write notes and finish up on Wednesday. But Tuesday came pretty quick, didn't it? From Sunday. So we came over this morning for prayer meeting. For a while, I got here late, pending I had some things, duties at home to take care of. I told the group that was here today what a terrible night Sherry had had, and we were in the fellowship hall praying back there so we wouldn't have to heat this large room. And then one of the guys said, well, let's just pray right now. Well, that was Robert Shore. And we prayed. I told him I was on my way to Walgreens to get some Zicam or whatever that stuff's called, cough medicine. And I walked in there and got it. I'm not a shopper. I'm a go get it and get out. Horace is a shopper. They go and they look and they want to shop. I don't shop. I go get and get out. So I walked in and I was in and out within a minute and a half or 2 minutes. I knew exactly what I was looking for. So when I came out the door, there was an older car, just exactly like Raymond's. I mean, that car and his car was exactly the same. And on the front of that car, there was a tag that said these words that prompted these thoughts in my heart for the rest of this day. And these thoughts was, with God, nothing shall be impossible. And all of a sudden, there was something leaped on the inside of me. And at that moment, I knew what I was supposed to do this evening. Now, you may not look for signs like that. And somebody says, well, was that you or was that God? I think it was me and God. Because it took God speaking to my heart. But when I seen that tag on the front of that car, there was something inside of me that leaped. And I got a hold of it because it said, with God, nothing shall be impossible. Well, I've thought about that most of the day and scratched me out some outline. There's my outline. I scratched me out some notes for the evening. And I thought to myself, you know, when I think about the impossibility of God, there is a few things in the scripture that God says that he cannot do. And most of you can already tell me what the one main thing is that God cannot do. What is it? Lie. If you look in the book of Hebrews chapter number 6 and verse number 18, and you can go back and read this whole thing. But anyways, the middle part of that, and it talks about Abraham, and I'll get into that in a minute. But it talked about that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who had fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that set before us. But in this, it was a reminder, when you look in Hebrews 6 and 18, that it is impossible for God to lie. When we think about that, I was thinking about how that there had to be moments in time with individuals throughout the scripture that had such a situation that looked absolutely impossible at the moment. Now, I don't know about you, but I've had a lot of those things in my own life. When we look at situations and we think, there's no way. There's absolutely no way that this is going to work out. It's impossible for this to happen. And it's not going to happen. Now, my buddy Horace back here, in his good mannerisms and his faith that moves mountains, often comes to me and he says, hey, it's not over yet. And God and Horace will say to me, he says, hey, there's always hope. You know, and he encourages the preacher. You know, and I think about that because in situations that you and I deal with, now I don't know if you're anything like me, but there's times that I even kindly get down. Now don't fall out with me yet. I kindly look at the reality of what's in front of me, and sometimes the reality of what's in front of me says, you know, tells me a total different story. I can only imagine the heart of Abraham. I can only imagine the heart of a lady by the name of Sarah. You know the story better than I do. You've read it probably more than me. But I can only imagine what was going on in their life at that time when Abraham and Sarah both were well up in years and how that they were really having a very difficult time. And how that in the scripture we see this, of how that in the book of Genesis, we see this in chapter number 18. And you can actually read this, and it says that when, and they said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? And he says, and he said, behold, in the tent, and he said, I will certainly return unto thee, and according to the time of life, lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. Now Sarah was already well up in years. I think Abraham was like 100 year old, and she was like way up in 75 or 80 year old, way up in there. And it said that in the time of life that she will have a son, which seems like an impossibility. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. And again, you can look at this and you can see where the Bible says in verse number 11. And Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age. I mean, to me, when I hear stuff like this, I hear past their abilities to do this. And if it was going to be God, it would certainly be God that gets it done. And then he says here in the Word, and again says, now Abraham and Sarah was old and well stricken in age, and it ceased with to be with Sarah after the manner of women. In other words, she was absolutely well past being able to bear children. And I'll leave that where it's at. Verse number 12, the Bible says that she responds back. And it says, therefore Sarah laughed within herself saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? In other words, talking about Abraham. Here Sarah is, here Abraham is. And both of them, and you know the story of how that Isaac was born later, but how that both of them dealt with this whole thing, that they were dealing with what looked like an impossibility. I don't know if anybody in the room has ever dealt with impossibilities, but I know for me, myself, there are situations in my own life from time to time that I would like to see it a whole lot different. And I know from my own experience, when my daddy got saved in September 23rd, 2006, you've heard my story, how that I could never imagine my daddy being any different than what he had always been. And I could not even imagine him being a saved man because of how he was when he was younger. And then I was there in the yard at my house, and the Lord said, why do you doubt that I am able to do? My daddy was saved after that. My son, I'm praying for my son. I'm praying for family members. I'm praying for others that need a good revelation of who Jesus Christ truly is. So that little sign outside that door on that Buick today was not just a sign for this message this evening, but it was a sign to me, with God, nothing shall be impossible. It's those little things in life. Even though Abraham and Sarah, no doubt in my mind, this was a big thing to them, because they were both plumb past the prime of their life, and there was no way this was going to happen. But how many of you know that God's still in the miracle working business? I was thinking about Deborah Shepherd coming to church. I was driving over and I began to think about Deborah Shepherd, the Shepherd family that comes. I began to think about her song, and I can't remember all the words to it, but she sung it right here on this stage several times. And in that song, the song says that there's a miracle in the making. Now just let me preach a while, because somewhere in my heart today, God sparked something in my heart today for me to believe that no matter what I'm looking at, no, I was going to come in here tonight, slip in, slip out, slump over and slide out, have a little prayer time and go to the house and enjoy Thanksgiving. But I seen that tag on that car today, and God sparked something in me and said, never, never stop doubting what I'm able to do. But and Deborah would sing that song, and she would sing that there's a miracle in the making. And I believe tonight that there's a miracle in the making for you and for myself. And you might be here tonight, and I don't know where you've been. I don't know what you've done. But God is still a God of miracles. And those things that are impossible with man are possible with God. Somebody shout, I'm ready for my miracle. I'm ready for my impossibility. Amen. I believe if we would get a hold of that this evening, I believe that God would do exceedingly abundantly above all that we would ever ask or think, according to the power of God that worketh within us. And that's our faith. Abraham and Sarah was challenged at an impossibility. I don't know about you, but I've been there before. I've been challenged in impossibilities. There've been times we had nothing to do but just to hold on. But see, here's what the Word says. And the Lord said to Abraham, He said, "Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, Shall I of a surety bear a child which am old?" How many of you in this room, including myself, have been holding on to something? You've been holding on to a promise. Maybe God said something to you years ago. I know there was a Tuesday morning prayer meeting in Waynesville. Now, when I say Waynesville, I'm talking about over 18 years ago. Okay? I'm talking about a long time ago. But in a prayer meeting that time, in a Tuesday morning prayer meeting, just like we're having here, we would call it Triumphant Tuesday. But I was praying and I was begging God and I was saying, "God, when is the harvest going to come? When is the harvest going to come?" And the Lord spoke to my heart, and just bear with me tonight if you will. The Lord spoke to my heart on that Tuesday morning and said, "As surely as thou hast sown the seed, there will be a harvest." I was sitting in McDonald's parking lot in Hemby Bridge, North Carolina. The Joneses may know where Hemby Bridge is, being in the Monroe area down there for a while. I was praying over my own son back that many years ago, long time ago. You know what? God told me in Waynesville, "As surely as you have sown the seed, there will be a harvest." And I was in that McDonald's parking lot praying about that same thing, and God again spoke to my heart and said, "That is your seed, and you'll see him come home." And I'm believing that with everything within me tonight. Even though it looks impossible with me, and it is impossible with me, but those things that are impossible with me are possible with God. Abraham and Sarah could not do this without God's divine intervention. Now, I don't know about you, but we need God in the church today, and we need a divine intervention today, and we need God to do something that man cannot do and man cannot explain and that man cannot get the glory for, that all the glory belongs to God and God alone. And my friend, that's the kind of miracle I'm looking for tonight. That tag on that car said, "Nothing shall be impossible with God." I'm believing God. I'm believing God for a miracle. We see here in the word of the Lord again, when you look at this, the Bible says, "And the Lord said unto Abraham, Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, Shall I of a surety bear a child which is old?" Verse number 14 says this. It says, "Is anything too hard for the Lord?" Wow. Is anything too hard for the Lord? I could take a journey right now and go all the way throughout the Scripture. I could go to withered hands and blinded eyes and crippled feet and the dead on the bier of the coffin Jesus reached out. I could go to Jairus. I could go all throughout the Scripture. But the one that gets my mind more than anything this evening is just how I feel tonight. It's where that Jesus looked back at Peter. There was a great financial need in their life. They had to pay taxes. Taxes have been going on that many years. You know what I mean? We all deal with that. What did the Lord tell Peter? Just in a real paraphrase without turning over there and looking at it. He said, "Go look in the fish's mouth, and in the mouth will be the coin to pay your taxes." I'm sure to Peter that sounded a little bit off chart. But God uses those unusual things and those strange things. We call them in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, with signs and wonders. And it was through those signs and those wonders that the people was convinced that it was the hand of God. And I said all of that to say this. We've almost shut the church out as far as miracles and signs and wonders today. And people say, hey, it don't take that anymore. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. It still can happen. And if God wants to do it, God can still do it. Amen. But we see here the question. Again, when you look at this, and I want this to sink into our heart this evening, because it simply says, is anything too hard for the Lord? It says that right there in the Word. And then he says, at an appointed time, I will return unto thee, according to the time of Sarah, time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. And look at this. Then Sarah denied, saying, I didn't laugh, for she was afraid. And he said, nay, but thou did laugh. And God said, yes, you did. And Abraham did the very same thing that Sarah did. But you can read in the Word of the Lord, and you can read over in this, in the Scripture, and you can see the very fact of what the Bible says. If you look at this in Genesis 21, how many of you know the promises of God are yea and amen? It may take a little bit of time. Come on, somebody. We want an instantaneous move and an instantaneous fix. And I've said it many times over and over that we live in a microwave generation and we serve a crockpot God. Sometimes it takes God His timing, because His ways are different than ours. And if we've seen it every time, hey, God would never get the glory out of it. You would always say, I did that. I did that. It was me. I did that. A few days ago, again, I've said part of this the other day. I was having this debate with somebody. And it wasn't a matter of me having no faith in God. I got all the faith in God. God can do whatsoever He chooses to do. I think Jesus many times challenged them, because He said many times to them, oh, ye of little faith. The problem is not with God. The problem is with us. It's our faith. It ain't a problem. God can do whatsoever God so chooses to do. If He can hang the moon and put the stars in place and put oxygen in your little lungs as a little bitty baby, and you're still breathing that same very oxygen that you breathe when you was a little bitty baby, and God's kept you and me alive all these years. Hey, God can do these things. But we struggle sometimes with those things when it comes to us. You say, well, where's all this in Scripture? Sarah must have struggled in some ways when she looked at her physical person. She looked at what she had already been through, and she looked at the condition of her own personal body and everything, and she would go, you know what? It's okay for God to say that, but I just don't think it's going to happen. That's perfect. What's the word I'm looking for? That is a perfect environment for God to do what only God can do. When you and I get to the end of what we can do, then it sets up the situation for what God is able to do, and in all reality, what God wants to do. If you could do it, you'd be called God. If I could do it, I would be called God. So we've seen this shift in our